Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome to another episode of Shollycast. This is Hydro, and with me is Dr. X. And in this episode, we have a very special guest, Glassfish. Welcome, Glassfish.
Yeah, thank you. And hello, everyone.
Welcome.
So first off, thank you again for joining us for this. It's very, very exciting. We're really happy to have you on here as a straight Shota artist. I've actually been a fan of your artwork pretty much since, I want to say, 2014 is when I first discovered your artwork.
Nice. That's quite a while ago.
Yeah,
that was before IA was released, and before I had even met you. Wow.
That is correct, because way, way back then, as a matter of fact, Glassfish was one of my choices for an artist for when I was coming up with the idea of Insexual Awakening. Oh. And I remember sending you an email and being like, you know, I'm looking for an artist, and it just so happened. Yep. And it just so happened right around that time is when Nurgle had contacted you for Urban Demons. But I remember you very politely declined because the game did contain Lolly, which was not your thing. So, it was cool. That was basically, I think, my very first like communication with you. But before then, I had seen your artwork, and I don't remember if I found your blog or I like found it on like Discord somehow, but I do remember that, like, I think one of my first things I saw from your work was, I think, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time with Young Link.
Oh yeah, I did two of those.
You did two. You did one with Princess Rudo. Mm-hmm. Adult Princess Rudo, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one was with the Gerudo. I forget her name.
Me too. I just forgot it.
Is it Urbosa?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Urbosa. No, it was from Breath of the Wild.
That's from the recent Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay.
This is a Gerudo from back in Ocarina of Time, the N64 game. But those were awesome comics.
Thank you. Had a lot of fun doing those. I know it's a little bit of an art geeky thing, but I love doing those. I get to play with different styles and backgrounds. So that was like a really fun comic to do.
Now, how did you like get into the foray of like straight Shota art? Like what kind of like led you into that kind of space of being like, yeah, you know what? I like it if like it's a young boy with an older girl. That kicks ass when I go for it.
It's so funny because I didn't know the genre had a name the time I got into it. This was during the time of way back when machine, WOEC forums were around. I was showing off sketches I did before, because I got into the genre when I saw the later seasons of Batman the Animated Series. And I started drawing explicit pictures of Barbara and Tim Drake, because I was really into them. If anyone knows me, I'm a huge Batman nerd. So surprise, surprise, that was my first straight show to come.
I never would have guessed with your Batman icon.
Yes, a laughing Batman icon.
Yes, one of my favorite drawings of Neil Adams. But I started liking, and I started posting those pictures. They were like on notebook paper. It wasn't even on like white paper or anything. And I posted up on a WWC. And that's when someone mentioned, I think on one of the replies, that it was called Straight Shota. I was like, I didn't know you're like, it's cool to see someone else into this. And I was like, I didn't even know it had a name. I didn't know this was a thing, like a genre. Like, I just thought, like, I didn't really put it together. For me, I was just drawing, you know, not safe for work. And that's how I saw it. And it was like an older male, younger female. I mean, older female, different younger genre. Male. Yeah, different genre. My bad.
Different genre there.
Oops. had a specific name, which I thought was really cool. And I started to really get into it. And I started exploring more. Folks were sharing like doujins of the same subject, and I started to get more into it, and it was a lot of fun.
That's so interesting, because Dr. X and I were talking about how we kind of discovered like straight shota art, and it was the same thing. I had no idea it had a name. I think it was the same with you, right, Dr. X? Correct. Like, you had no idea there was like a genre name for it.
Yeah, I didn't know it had a specific name. It was more like, it was probably more like specific characters together, I would say. And I did not know that it had a specific name, because I feel like, you know, back then people kind of didn't make as big of a deal about it. So it was just kind of porn.
Yeah, so that's what it was. It was just porn. Yeah,
exactly.
And also I think too that, like, you know, when I first got into it, I was probably like maybe like 15 or 16. So it's not like I was that far removed from being an IRL shota. So like I think that might play a factor into it too, that you're just like, you're not looking at it as something different. You're just like, oh, look, that's just like that young boy is able to have sex with Ariel from The Little Mermaid or whatever. Because like, I don't have any like specific memories of like where I like started off, but I know that like one of my most memorable comics or doujins that I read was the Kama Sutra by Pandora's Box.
Ah, classic.
And it was on some weird, like, obscure, because I do remember the WWOTC forums. Man, that's a real mega throwback forum. I remember that. And it was just some random site that collected different doujins. They were all over the place. And I remember once I discovered that doujin of the Kama Sutra, and I didn't even watch Dragon Ball, and I still haven't really seen much of it, but I like, that's literally how I got to know those characters, was from that rather than the actual anime.
Rather than the actual source. That happens to me sometimes. I can't remember for all, but usually for like an anime I've like never watched, and I'll see like a doujin or something, it's like, I'll see more of this Rule 34 than I would have of the actual show.
I feel like that happens very often these days.
Yeah. It happens. It's like, it took me like Chainsaw Man. I finally was like, okay, I have to see what this sloppy blowjob devil like keep talking about. So I started watching the show because of all the Rule 34 seeing of it.
It would have been it. They did stuff with
like spoiler. There's no sloppy blowjob devil.
Unfortunately, that would have made the show more interesting and fun.
It, you know, it's like, what's interesting about that is that we were saying how like some like shota characters from video games, like a Plague's Tale, for example, it's like Hugo is the name of the shota in that game. And like, nobody actually knows who that is specifically in the porn world. They just know that his model that was ripped from the game, and he's like the most prominent like shota to be used in 3D animations now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes he is. And I feel like because no one knows where he's from, or that's why you don't really see him with his sister very much. Even though she has a 3D model as well in the game, so
yeah, he just instead crosses dimensions to different games.
Yeah, just he's fucking girls from different games and dimensions and times, like the King of Fighters girls, or like Tekken, or just anything. Evil. Honestly, Resident Evil, tons of Resident Evil, and Overwatch as well.
Have you ever had that like feeling, Glassfish, where like when you watch like an animated show or a movie and you end up seeing like a Shota character that you like, and then you like see like an this probably has happened with you, and then you like see like an older female character and you go, oh yeah, and just like crying, oh yeah, it's all coming together.
Yes. I'm trying to remember the last show I saw that with. It's kind of hard to remember everything since I've been watching more shows lately, but usually when a character shows up and there's like younger male, they don't have to interact for me to even think that.
Well, I know that one of your very popular pairings that you have is with Power Girl, and is it Frankie or am I thinking
Power Girl and Billy Batson. I've recently been doing a comic shameless plug with Power Girl and Fisher. That's like two different, because Fisher is actually a character from like Amanda Connor's run on Power Girl back like I think 2012 at this point, I can't remember, but there was like a little shit, I can explain it, who blackmailed Power Girl into like, hey, if you do these favors for me, and in the comic, the official comic wasn't sexual, if you do these favors for me, then I won't release your secret identity or something.
Boring.
I know. I had to change that. But the pairing I mostly go for, like, I just like they hardly have ever interacted in the comics, was Power Girl and Billy Batson, or as most people know him, Captain Marvel or Shazam at this point.
Oh yes, that's right. That's right. But yeah, like I love all the different like superhero like pairings that you did, like you've done one with like She-Hulk or Shulk, I
yeah,
guess.
She-Hulk, sometimes they call it Shulky. She-Hulk and Franklin Richards,
that's the one who's Franklin, that's right. Mm-hmm.
That's the Marvel one, the version side of that.
And it's really fun to see that, because you know, I've definitely had those moments. Like I think my most recent one was probably in Persona 5 Royal. There's this Shota character called Jose, and he's just like a really cute Shota character that appears at one point in the game, and one of the female characters that's in your party like really takes like a liking to him and has like major SS vibes through it. Wow. And that was definitely like one of those moments where I'm just like, oh yeah, come on, that somebody. And amazingly, there's not that much artwork of them. I haven't played
Persona 5 Royale. I only am very familiar with the Persona 5, that I didn't see any Let's Plays or anything of the Royale version.
Yeah, he was added in Royal, the Shota character.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't in the original Persona 5 at all. He's in the
new one. Yeah, that much I know.
so yeah, another pairing I know that you really like, more is just like almost like a fan of it, but I think you have done artwork of it, is like mm-hmm. a Bowser and Peach.
Yes, I love, that's like another pairing I really, really love, because that's a pairing I like since I was like, since I was a kid watching and playing Mario games. I just always had a thing for like monster guys and girls and dainty princesses, or kind of like another fetish of mine that I really like.
Have you ever thought about like Bowser Jr. pairing with Peach?
It's so funny because I love Bowser Jr., don't get me wrong, but I just, this is just me, it's a personal thing. I didn't really think about having them together for whatever reason. I don't know why. I might still do it because I always still like them. I always like Bowser Jr. like with Daisy or something, or Rosalina. And I guess because I'm just so like into Bowser and Peach that I was like, not like I'm not one of those like obsessed fans, like it can't be anyone else.
OTP. It's just like
my OTP. I usually break those rules. But I just kind of like the idea of Bowser Jr. with the other princesses for whatever reason.
I actually like that. I mean, I can totally see like a funny comic with that. I mean, I'm totally for some like Bowser Jr. / Rosalina / Daisy action, or both of them.
Or both.
like have Bowser and Peach are like together, and then Bowser Jr. is like, oh, but I want my own, you know, girlfriend or whatever. That'd be really funny.
My own princess.
My own princess too. Daddy, I want one.
It sounds like a great Mario game. Looking forward to this one.
I can't wait. Miyamoto, get on that.
That sort of stuff. I mean, honestly, all your pairings that you've ever done of like different established characters, I just see them as the canonical things that actually happened. especially like you said, if it's characters that maybe in like the original run of a comic or a show, like were very seldomly together, or like, you know, it was either very non-sexual, or it's fun to like take a spin on that and try to like, what's even more fun is like when you can make it almost seem like it could be its own comic. Like, I've totally gotten that vibe.
That's the most fun I have writing characters that like never interacted or rarely interacted, is because it you just create this thing where it's basically like a what if, what you wanted to see, what you wish someone would make or wish would happen, and you just kind of bring it to life on your own. I remember someone asked me how do you with my writing, whether it's fan art, they were mostly talking about fan art characters I was doing. He said, how do you make it so like, he's like, in this world, you know, it's not canon that they're going to fuck or anything, but you make it believable. And they asked me like, how do you write like that? Like tips. And I said, this funny thing is like, read the dialogue or act it out to yourself out loud, like be in character. You don't have this all the time. I don't do it all the time, but when I really want to make sure like it seems believable enough, I kind of just like play the role a little bit. Like at my desk, I'll just read the dialogue out loud, not too loudly because I'm not the best actor in the world, no, but I try to do my best, and whatever flows out naturally is what goes on page.
That's exactly what I do with D-Gen Comics. The first comic that I worked on that was a Sholikon combo comic was set in the Pokemon universe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, if it's going to be like a Shota character and some Loli trainers facing off against each other, what would be like a reason for him to be like, well, you know, if I win this, you're going to have to do whatever I want, or, you know, like it, almost like a spin on that comical thing of it, yet you can face off literally against anybody in the Pokemon games, even like some cute, like little girls or little boys. And yet somehow they give you money at the end. Like,
yes,
somehow
they
have the money to give
you. That game.
Yeah, I know, right?
But like, what would happen if they didn't have money? How else could they repay you? It's like that fun aspect. So I totally get that that's exactly how I would approach it. I'd be like, if I want to make like a believable kind of setup for two characters to like fuck that where they normally wouldn't, I want to make sure that they're in character, it makes sense.
Yeah,
so I'm totally for that. I love that.
And don't be afraid to bend some rules too. Like it's so funny because like some of the scenarios are just like, yeah, they're sexy scenarios, they're porn scenarios, but it's fun to like to bend the rules a little bit. But it's like know the rules before you can break them. Like if a character is acting out of character, why would they do that? And it would make sense. Like Power Girl would it purposely hit on Billy Batson. in canon comic wise moralities and stuff like that, but if I could just make it a little bit believable, it can definitely work. People can just read it without even thinking of a second thought.
Very cool. I like that. That's I think what makes it more fun. So I actually can't wait for when you get the dialogue written for that comic.
Oh yeah, Power Girl Fisher, I have like the dialogue, most of it set up. I wrote
it
down.
That's a huge comic, just so everybody
69
knows.
69 pages.
Yes, nice. 69. Got the ideal number. Otherwise, yeah, you'd have to go all the way to 420, and then it would be like a chronology. It'd be a huge anthology at that
exactly
point.
Like the porn War and Peace.
Basically.
And that must have been a really great compliment to receive from someone that's, he said it, you make things sound very believable.
Yeah, it was a big compliment because I don't really see myself as a writer. And I write mostly scripts for my comics, outlines and or scripts. So if someone compliments something that I don't feel that I don't feel like I'm the best at, it's very much flattering.
Yeah, that's awesome that you're creating these believable scenarios between these characters fucking each other's brains out.
Yes, exactly. A fun thing I like to add too is that I like to add humor to most of my works.
Oh, I do too. I love that.
I'm not like a comedian by any stretch of the imagination, but I like erotica of a little bit of humor to it, whether it's soft or whether it's in the forefront or just a scenario that's like completely ridiculous can work. I'm not saying that I don't write more, I guess I would say serious, but less humorous stories, but I always try to like sneak in a bit of humor in there every now and then if I could.
Well, it makes me think of I should have shown you this comic that Short Comic Glass did of the muscular girl, and like it was really funny, Dr. X, because it's like these two Shotas, and one of them is looking at like this like magazine of like muscular women, and the other Shota's just like, huh, muscular women, oh, they're so gross and unappealing. And then this huge muscular like Amazonian woman appears by him. He goes, that's not for you to decide. And then she starts fucking him. And the other Shota that was into the magazine, he goes, he slams the ground, goes, it should have been me. So Glass is playing into the it should have been me memes, because I see that you sometimes throw in the funny memes into your comic though.
I have to sometimes. It's right there.
And I mean, you might as well take it, you know, that's something that this is like a pro tip for at least I think for some artists. If you're doing like straight show or lolly art, if like a popular show or like a popular meme or something has come out, you know, take advantage of it if you can, because that is a almost guaranteed way to get attention to your artwork because it's like relevant in the people's minds. And I think that's a huge way to get people's attention to your
that's
art.
Like the sec, it's either memes or the waifu of the month, whether exactly. It's an anime or a TV show.
Like Lady Dimitrescu. Like it's actually Dimitrescu. You can't say Dimitrescu.
That's I just call her Lady D.
Lady D, yep. Because a lot of Shotas want to give her the D, which is great. And because she's like huge to begin with, you almost are like borderline giantess with her. She's
fucking A. They knew what they were doing. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing when they made her. Like, I get it. She is, you know, a part of like, she is inspired by the tall lady in Japanese folklore, but, or not folklore, just, you know, myth or whatever. But I still think it's like they made her so mommy in that game.
Yeah.
The way, like, I remember seeing the trailer and it's the way she moves and talks. Like, oh, they totally knew what they were doing.
And the funny thing is about that that mythological character is that I think she's, like, well known for, like kidnapping children or something.
Yes.
But like, hentai creators adapt that where she preys on Shotas and basically eats their dick, aka sucking them off.
I love that. Hey, turn your fears into, you know, porn.
Fetishes. Fears into fetishes.
Exactly. How else are you going to get over your phobias?
Exactly.
And that's like a similar kind of thing with like the Hex Maniac from Pokemon. And mm-hmm. And some people, what they do is they turn her into the Sex Maniac, and instead they have her. Oh, and literally all it was is I think there's just one piece of dialogue the Hex Maniac had, like in one of the Pokemon mainline games, where she says something to the trainer that kind of alludes to some kind of like flirtatious or like just kind of like behavior of like, oh, I want to be with you or something like that. And that's all they needed. And they're just like, just the artist just starts scribbling down like all kinds of art.
This is the speed of light.
That's why I love those memes of like of like game releases and then Speed of Light, and then it shows Hentai Artist flying by and it goes, going somewhere. Like, I love that.
I love it's that so too. True, though. It is. You know, it's like, hey, character's hot enough, or not even have to be that hot, just have to be like interesting in some way or another to make Rule 34 of.
And it's usually like the Nintendo games are the ones that get it the fastest by far. Like Nintendo comes out with like a trailer for like Legend of Zelda, or like comes out with Pokemon game, and they are just right after the trailer. Like some people post like within like an hour after the trailer.
I know. Like even I'm like, well, let me wait for a second trailer at least.
It's like a competition, you know. Honestly.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta do it, and I gotta do it fast. There's been a really, like, a cat. I forgot her name. I don't play Pokemon games at all. I haven't played a Pokemon game since literally probably Diamond or Pearl or something like that. I just haven't really been that much of a Pokemon fan. But when I saw Professor Sharptooth, as I called her, that was, like, the only time I really wanted to draw a character that quickly.
Is that the professor from the latest game?
Yes.
Yeah. I know who she's talking about. What's her name? Oh, actually, what was her name from Scarlet and Violet? I actually forget her name.
Yeah, me too. But
I forgot.
I was like, hello. I usually just like try to draw, like, not to beat the clock, but if there's a character enough that inspires me, I would draw them in that week.
She would be great for some snoo-snoo SS.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly. She looks it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, the Pokemon games have like serious SS vibes in them. Like, if you had played Sword and Shield, the character Sonya, she flirts with the main character so much, it's absurd. And like, it's like, it's so great. that's why I love the Pokemon games. Dr. X and I play it a lot. We played Sword and Shield a ton. We play Scarlet and Violet a ton. And we literally play it just to look forward to the waifus. I'm surprised you haven't, or maybe you did. Have you done artwork of that one gym leader who's like very much like a mommy, kind of almost like a gilf kind of character? She runs a bakery and uses bug types.
Oh, no, bug types? No, I'm not. I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen her. You gotta, like, show me.
Oh, I would think you would like her a lot because she's, like, very thick. And she's, like, has a very, like, very wholesome kind of, like, friendly demeanor. And, ooh, like,
nice. Mommy vibes.
I think you would like it because, you know, she says that, you know, she wants to give you cookies and stuff. And in exchange, you give her a bun in her oven. And then... It's a good equivalent exchange, because she's one of Dr. X and I's favorite like gym trainers from that game, from Scarlet and Violet.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to check her out sometime. Gonna see her. Like I said, I haven't really played or know much about Pokemon anymore. It's like forever. I just see it, like, sometimes I'll see fan art where there's Rule 34 normal. Our clips or people talking about it on Twitter, and that's as much exposure as I get to it these days.
Now, were you ever into like fan fiction like that had like SS pairings, or are you mostly more into like the visual stuff like comics?
I was mostly into the visual stuff. I did read fan fiction a lot, especially back then, but it was mostly for like adult pairings because that was the mass majority of it. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, those were just the ones I go to because there weren't really any good ones. I'm 12 at the time. I don't know how it is. The scene is now. But it was just like I had to go for the most popular parents because they had the majority of the fan fiction written for them. So I was mostly a visual person when it came to pairings of straight shota that I liked, like comics, doujins, Western or not. And that's how I kind of like look around for them.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's definitely true that the vast majority of fan fiction is adult ex-adult.
Yeah.
And like for like pairing stuff, it's usually in porn.
Yes. that's basically what I do. It's like, oh well, because I'll see if I'm gonna search up Sad Panda or whatever, see if they have see if someone have drawn a comic or image gallery of this, so
Now, have you been watching anything recently that has like a potential pairing that you might eventually want to do art for?
It's funny because recently, no. I usually just go back into the well or create original stories. There hasn't been anything. I'm thinking like when I say recent, I'm thinking like the past year or so. Maybe there's some one-shot things I want to do, but I kind of like dipped back into the well, which is why I did PJ and Fisher, because that's something I always wanted to do but never did. And oh, this is recent-ish. I love the Super Sons. Anything with the Super Sons. You guys know, I already said this. DC nerd. When they released a couple of years ago, if not a little longer, of young Damian and John adventures, practically, I was just like, this is my jam. I've been asking for this for ages. So that's fairly new, except that DC editorial is kind of fucking up that dynamic by making John older suddenly.
No. You're giving me PTSD with this one anime that does the same thing, and it triggers me.
Oh, God. I'm going to ask about that later. But no, it was it's kind of like a dumb decision. So I was like, you know what? Let me just do whatever I want with these characters. And that's basically what I did. That's the most recent thing I could think of.
That's great that you get the opportunity to like kind of fix it.
Yeah,
I can fix it. I'll fix it. And yeah, like that definitely, I can totally see that as because honestly, that sometimes becomes a motivational factor. Like you watch a show you really like or read a comic or something and you really like it. And all of a sudden it goes off kind of on a tangent that you're just like, no, that. But you know what? I'm just going to do it myself the way that I want to see it.
You Thanos it. You put on the glove and he said, reality is anything can make it. And that's how I think of it sometimes. I know for some folks, when a show, comic, whichever goes south, they tend to like just not be a fan of it anymore. They don't draw anything. They don't do anything. And rightfully so. Sometimes the show can go to shit and it can ruin your enthusiasm. But for me, when I see something that I really like, that they didn't do really well or could have done better, I was like, no, let me just create whatever I want because I'm still a fan of this particular series. I may not like where it's going or where it went, but I can still do fan art and stuff like that to make myself happy.
Yeah, and I feel like it might be a little easier for like the superhero stuff because of all the different timelines and stuff. So even if you don't like one of them, you might still like the others.
Exactly.
It's so amusing that how convenient it is that DC has all these Shoto characters that can be paired up with these older girls and women.
Yeah, they do. I wish they did. I saw the Super Sons movie, which was very cute. I would say it's not like the best DC animated movie out there. I watch a lot of the DCAU, but it was like, yeah, make a fucking cartoon. It's right there in front of you. Like, money's on the table. I don't know why they're not doing this. They don't have to make it show. They don't have to show debate, but they can definitely.
Yes, they should. Yes.
Oh, well, trust me. That's something I could definitely wishful thinking, but just to make it happen, I just don't understand why they just won't. But hey, I'm not head of DC entertainment department, so what do I know?
I mean, they could even come up with like a new like female villain where like literally she gains her powers from just the various Shota boys simping over her. Great, there you go, there you go, DC. There's a new DC. Super Sons based movie that they have to resist the temptation to simp for the new female mommy character. That'd be awesome. I would love that.
They should give in at the end and have like an orgy or something.
Glassfish will take care of that if they don't do that.
Yes, I got that. I got that covered.
What was I gonna say? It was related to the Super Sons thing. When you come up with actually, this is what I was related to with your original comics. When you come up with these different Shota characters and MILF characters, like, where does that inspiration come from? Like, how do you get the ideas for their design?
Oh, when it comes to their design, it's a lot of trial and error. Like, I do have scraps of it, where there's digital art and paper, where I would draw the character designs. I'll draw like a whole bunch, like I'll fill a canvas with faces and such, and then I'll pick the best design or I combine the best elements to them. So there's a lot of behind the scenes. I don't 90% of the time, maybe not 90, but most of the time I do not get it the first time. I do have
mainly
to
experimentation.
Exactly. It's mainly like, oh wait, I'm gonna try a different shape, I'm gonna try a different personality for this character, and I'll just keep drawing, scribbling, sort of stream of conscience, until I get something that's close to what I want, and then I will refine that design.
And do you ever like look up like references?
Yeah, I do look for references, either other cartoon characters that I really like. I also have a couple of books about character design that I always run back to when I'm creating, when I get stuck. So it's kind of like, I'm going to need a refresher. So I'll go back to this book, these two books about character designs, and I'll just like get a refresher and then I'll try experimenting again. But usually I carry like in animation, they call it a mood board. But I use it for anything. And a mood board is basically taking references or inspiration for what you're looking for in this character design or place or whatever. So if I'm drawing goth mommy or something like that, I would literally Google stuff that I like to see, like old school pictures of Suicide Girls, remember those, and I'll look up gothica and goth chicks and MILF goth whatever, and I'll just take all these pictures and drawings and paste them into a canvas and sort of use that as a reference. I do the same for shodas. I'll look up character designs that are close to what I want, like bratty, if this character is like a bully or something, I'll look up like stereotypical caricatures of like bullies or like harsh designs and stuff like that, so I can create the character I want.
I know what you're talking about with those kinds of boards that you create. It's like kind of like almost like a collage of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I can see how that can be very, very useful. And like, regarding like the personality types of the shodas, are there any like particular personality types that are like your favorites?
To the surprise of no one, as much as I do like the bratty character, I like the innocent type. The good boy, the Boy Scout, per se. That's because that's just me. I've always been like a person who's like, I love the good guy characters, I love the innocent Boy Scout, I love the naive whatever, and I always go for that. So that's my favorite archetype for the male shodas. Yeah, but obviously shodas male, but yeah, the male characters.
Yeah, that's very classic for straight shodas. It has the shodo being innocent. It's good. It's very interesting juxtaposition between like that and the older, more experienced girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Dr. X and I were talking about this the other day. One of the reasons why I do actually love your art is that you do showcase the shoda a lot. And sometimes what ends up happening in a lot of straight shoda work is because the creators of a lot of straight shoda animations and creations usually are male, they mm-hmm. oftentimes don't really show the shoda character very much. It's either POV from the shoda, or maybe like you only see like the shoda's lower torso.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, even for adult male characters sometimes. It's always like, I make this joke all the time, I call them phantom dicks. And I always I just like just floating penises and stuff like that. It's always funny to me. But I'm always like, you know, draw the whole male sometimes. I like seeing their faces or reactions or how they respond. It's very, for me, that's erotic too. I guess because, yeah, I'm coming from a female perspective of what I like to see in male characters too, but along with like female characters as well.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that recently, of like how to make like my art more appealing to female viewers. Is basically big part of that is showing more of the male instead of just having it be a lower torso and a dick, or a phantom dick, because that even literally happens in porn where it's like the dick is drawn in and nothing else.
So yeah,
you see that pretty often as well.
Yeah, it's not like it's nothing wrong with that. It's like that's perfectly fine. I'm not gonna tell someone how they.
Oh yeah.
Should go about it, because maybe they don't want to see the male as much. That's fine. I'm just like, you know, coming in from what I want to see, and like, yeah, show the guy.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like in hentai too. Make them moan. Come on, I want to hear them.
Yeah, like, and that's where like Dr. X and I seem to suspect that there actually are quite a few female straight Shota fans out there. And like, you know, if they're obviously going to love it if there's more artwork that would appeal to them showing the like especially if like they did like something like a POV from the female's perspective looking at the Shota and stuff like that. That's very uncommon. That's not often done, and when it is, actually Dr. X and I like it because it's like it gives you a different angle and it's not always the same. And of course, like you said, there's nothing wrong with doing like the floaty dicks or the stuff like that, but it's fun when you can see like a very clear difference in the body size, a very you can see like the how they're reacting to the sex and things like that.
Love that.
and like what you were talking about, like being able to hear the Shota too, because you do animations in addition to, of course, your comics and your drawings and your sketches. And you and I have gone back and forth about this, trying to find good voice actors, and probably one of the most difficult things to get, it seems, for any kind of like straight Shota loli animations are finding voice actors, but especially for like Shotas.
Yes.
Because how do you get a Shota? Generally, you have to get some kind of female voice actor who can pull off a really good boyish voice. And it's hard because they have to be able to do that and also be okay with and or like the straight Shota aspect.
Yeah. And that could be, like you said, that could be very, very tricky. Especially like to find like a male voice or anyone who's just into the subject mostly. You know, like I won't say who, but I did ask someone just out of curiosity because someone recommended them and I didn't see their TOS at the time, but I just politely asked if they're comfortable with the subject, if they're interested, and they got really upset for me for just approaching them.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's unfortunate when that happens. You know, I can totally see like how someone would be well-meaning with like suggesting the voice actor, but you really got to be careful because some people, that's kind of happened to me sort of before when I've been like looking for like maybe, well, actually I think it may have been on voice acting stuff, and like depending on the server that where you could ask for that. Sometimes you'll get people who will just be like, no, that's not allowed, but other people will like be like that, stop that discussion right now, like they're like very like firm, like don't mention that ever.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the reason why it's so difficult to find, you know, voice actors is because a lot of times that they can't advertise themselves anyway. So, and then on top of that, the artists themselves who may be trying to look for them also can't really spread around their portfolio and stuff. So it's like you're almost like searching through the desert, trying to find a diamond in the rough that's like either a straight Shota creator or a voice actor. You're like, oh my god, I found one, and it just happened to be by chance you come across them.
Yeah.
And that's why it's pretty important for us as creators of loli and Shota stuff, for, you know, us to network and support each other's work and like be able to recommend each other. Like if someone needs a certain role filled or something, you know, basically just, you know, helping each other out. Since we have less available options for like promotion and stuff. So it's like, and that was part of the motivation for doing the podcast is, you know, helping other creators out and like spreading their work around so they can get they can do networking or like get more supporters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's been very inspiring to see your Twitter, Glassfish, grow to where it is right now, isn't it? It's at something like 55,000 followers or something like that.
I should pay more attention to followers, but yes, it's something like that. It's something that high.
And I mean that in itself is like really, really exciting because, you know, Twitter, for better or for worse, is still like a premier platform for artists to really get noticed more. And it's like a double-edged sword. It's like Twitter is, you know, not always the greatest place to be for communication.
But is a good place to put yourself out there if you're a creator of some sort.
Yeah, and the thing is when you put yourself out there, you end up getting more support. It's inevitable that that's what happens. Even if you only had like 1% of your 55,000 followers support you, you're already getting a tremendous amount of support.
That's true.
And the more you get, the better off it goes. And that's why when you first launched your Subscribestar, I was like so excited about that because I knew that you were going to reach your goal very, very fast.
And I was very happy too. Now I got a few comics in the works right now.
That's awesome. Congrats.
And was that like the first time where you were able to get like support specifically, like basically having people say, I love your work, Glass, and I want you to keep making like that straight show to spicy stuff?
Yeah, that was pretty much the motivation. I thought I should like try it out, see if I was going to get support for this genre that I'm in. And a lot of people were interested. And I thought like, yeah, like I'm gonna try this for sure. And then I'm just so glad it actually made its goal very quickly. I thought it was going to take a little bit, but I'm glad it did. So I got a few comics in the works for that. And an animation too. Hopefully I can get voices for them, but I can't. I feel like I'm too picky about it, but I'm going to see what I'm going to do. If I have to release it in just subs for now and retroactively add in the dub later, because hopefully I'm hoping it gets popular enough that someone will be interested in wanting to voice it.
That's honestly, I think, probably what you'll have to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do for sure.
And I'm picky too. Like that's right. You were recently, you've been working on is it Shego? Is that how you pronounce her name?
I think it's Shego, like Shego.
Yeah. Oh, it is Shego, okay.
Yeah.
Shego, sorry, Kim Possible fans. It's Shego and like just some basically like Shodas that are involved in it. And it's an animation and it looks like a ton of fun. And like, I totally get if like, you're like, no, I want to make sure if I get a voice actor for Shego that it sounds close to Shego. I can't have it be too different. I would be the same way about that.
I admire that dedication, honestly, to the character.
Yeah. It's funny because like, I said this many times on stream. I haven't even watched all of Kim Possible. I saw like a handful of episodes, but I'm going at it nonetheless. I did look up a lot of clips during the process of the animation. So,
oh, nice, very nice. Well, I think you've captured Shego very nice and added some extra features in the right places. And I'd be like, I like this reboot of Kim Possible.
She's called Shego because she goes down on the Shota.
Yeah, she does.
that's why her name is like that.
Yeah, it was destined to be.
And you know, like Subscribestar really has been like the pretty much one of the premier sites aside from Fanbox where straight Shota and Lolly creators can actually really express themselves fully, which is great. And so yeah. I'm really glad that they've hung in there. And
me too. I'm not gonna get to like this big rant about platforms and stuff. I've talked about it with friends. I know how I feel, but usually I don't want to rely on a single platform to get support from. But Substar does, it feels freeing. Like, to Twitter, you can post Shota if you dare. Like, I mean, a lot of people do, but I just don't, because I just don't want to deal with people. I censor it and just post it elsewhere. And plus, you can, I don't like paywall everything, only like whips or something if you're really that curious. But, you know, my work goes out there in public, whether on certain sites, you can just download it straight, like Mediafire or something. But it's just like, it's just so nice. Because I realized that I drew more Shota stuff when I open up my Substar, because it's just so nice, like, to draw something and just post it up and knowing that people are there specifically for this content. So there's no like, oh boy, let's get that one guy who's gonna complain.
Oh, you have a legion of guys.
Yeah, and it's
and
like
gals, hopefully.
And gals? Yeah, actually that's true. And gals. And I'm just like, it's just a lot. It felt so much better. It's just the vibe is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the floodgates open for your creativity.
Basically. Yes.
It's just like a Shota spreading a MILF's pussy, basically. And then it's like, yes, there's
quite,
so much
quite a visual.
So much quite here to enjoy. and yeah, because Dr. X and I, you know, we won't get into it because we talk about it on our own, like when him and I are together, but we don't like self-censoring at all. That's I think the worst possible thing it doesn't make you feel very fulfilled as a creative person when you're
really
just like,
does.
Oh, I can't show this. Oh, I can't draw that. And, you know, that's no fun.
Yeah. I've been, even though I crop and do stuff on Twitter, mostly because not because I'm censoring myself, because I will still post it uncensored elsewhere. That will not stop me. It's just that I know that some people, they just don't want to deal with that attention.
Oh, yeah.
Or they feel embarrassed or something like that. But I just feel like this is the worst sort of feeling ever, is to feel like you have to censor yourself.
And, you know, like, with DGen Comics, which, like, has, like, very Shota and very Lolly characters, like there's no, like, there's no skirting around, like, the design. And I crop the images from my comics on Twitter, and I don't put any hashtags, I don't retweet it, nothing. Nope. And even doing that, I get, like, I have 3,300 followers somehow. So it's like, how did that even happen? And that's where I think, like, the quality of your work, when you're not restricted, and you, like, are very excited to do your work, I think people just naturally, like, gravitate towards enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel like the vast majority of people, even on Twitter, they just want something good to fap to and enjoy.
Yeah, that's the thing. The day it's like, don't care, I want to fap. And I think a vast majority of people are mostly silent about what they like fetish wise.
Oh yeah.
And the minor, and I do believe this wholeheartedly. I know a lot of people saying, well, Twitter is destroying blah blah blah. It's actually much deeper than that. It's not Twitter that's destroying, like, adult work. It's actually, if anyone does any sort of research, you realize there's a lot of, like, a movement to, a lot of pressure on credit card companies and banking companies to ban porn or not accept money from pornographic material. That has nothing to do with Twitter. That's like Christian right wingers. Whatever political
evangelion.
Oh my god. I was too.
I said the wrong one.
they're the ones behind it all. The evangelion.
No. My bad.
Are you making a joke on the anime?
No. That was a mistake. That was a slip of the tongue. But no, funny. It's a lot deeper than that. Whatever views you're in, it goes very much so. If you look into it, which I won't get into now because that's a whole can of worms. But it's just that on Twitter and other social sites, specifically I'm talking about here, I do think a minority part is yelling about, like, you shouldn't draw this or that, because I wouldn't have 55,000 followers otherwise.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It basically completely proves them wrong when they say that.
They don't bother. It's like, this is wrong and this is bad and you should feel bad. And I'm thinking, like, tell that to the 55,000 followers. Yeah, and they all can't be bots.
Nope. They can't be. So that's why you just, I've always believed, just stay the course and you want to create what you really feel motivated to create. And that's where the success comes from.
Exactly.
It's very basic, very, very simple philosophy to follow.
Exactly. And
I think the reason why Subscribestar has succeeded so much is because even on their main page, they say a platform for supporting not safe for work artists, meaning that nobody else is allowed to be on that platform. Because you know how sometimes you get lumped in with like different kinds of creators when you're on Patreon. So if any kind of controversy happens, everybody else kind of goes under the bus with them. But Subscribestar has specifically avoided that. They've separated their sites into just Subscribestar
adult.
Yeah, and then there's Subscribestar.com, and then I think there's literally another Subscribestar that I didn't even know about until recently that's literally all for like cam girls, basically. It's basically like the equivalent of OnlyFans.
Okay.
But they're smart. They separate them. They're just
exactly.
Like, this site is for this, this site is for this, this site is for this. And I like, and I just think that's the best approach you can take. Same with Barag. Barag is smart too. They're just like, this is a site for artwork and or like things that are not safe for work. And you got to make sure that you follow the parameters of that, of your posts. And it's worked out very well.
Exactly. And I do appreciate that a lot. You don't really have to jump through a lot of hoops or anything. It's just what it is. It's like they separate them. This is what you're here. This is what you get, basically.
Yes. And honestly, I hope Subscribestar gets more people on their staff, because I've heard recently that people who have been trying to migrate to Subscribestar.
Yeah.
I've been having trouble hearing from the support team at Subscribestar. And I personally have never had any issues hearing back from them, but I would imagine it's because I'm established and you're established and they might give more priority to them. But hire more people, Subscribestar, because you don't want to be a victim of your own success.
Exactly. I want to see them succeed in what they're doing. And I hope, I really do hope that they'll get more folks on their support, their safety support, whatever they want to call it. And I hope to see more creators jump on Subscribestar. I'm not even going to like deny it. Like, I would like to see more creators on there, because I want to see what they can feel like they can do without the ball and chain that is Patreon.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that happened with a recent creator who's very well known, Scudbutt.
Yes,
he got banned from Patreon and he was just like, fuck Patreon, I'm just gonna go to Subscribestar. And now that's where he is. And I mean, Scudbutt is a huge like not safe for work artist.
Yes, he is.
But he does like a mishmash of everything. He likes to work on Ben and Gwen from Ben 10, and that's how he got banned, unfortunately. But really not that unfortunate, because now he just goes on Subscribestar.
And it's like, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. I'm left for your freedom. My Patreon is mostly a tip jar. I make sure like to do the whole disclaimers, like whoever is here, you're supporting work that's specifically here.
Yes.
And everything, because I know Patreon has that policy. It's like, well, we're going to check your other sites. It's like, that's weird, but okay.
Insane. I one question I had was I know that you had been working on what's the name of the game that you've been working
on? It was called Foe.
Yes, that's right. And I guess my question is when you came up with that, because you've been posting it mostly on Patreon, I believe.
Yes, and I finished posting it on Patreon.
And I guess my question was when you were coming up with that, was the protagonist originally supposed to, or did you want to make that protagonist originally like a Shota, or like what was the
originally it was always meant to be ambiguous. I wasn't thinking like, oh, this guy is clearly a Shota. He's kind of like Shota adjacent. because I always wanted, I didn't go towards it because I don't like to self-censor. I didn't be like, oh, here's a Shota, but I can't. I got to make him older for Patreon. No, actually, it was always meant to be sort of like, he's a henchman, so he always had the mask and everything over. He is exceptionally shorter than most of the women. So it could be like, he could be a Shota for someone, and mostly he could be like older teen for other people, like, or whatever. So that was always my intention, at least.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm just glad that, like, you know, that because I'm just glad that that wasn't the case that you, like, had to self-censor. That's always...
I would just not put it on Patreon if that was the case.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, for all you know, what may end up happening is, you know, Patreon, you know, obviously at this point, Subscribestar probably has many more supporters than Patreon tip jar at this point, I would imagine, yes. Correct?
It's funny because my Patreon is, since it's a tip jar, it is a dollar to join. It's not much. It's mostly for like Discord access. Sorry, and everything like that. So I have like 200-ish supporters on Patreon. And don't get me wrong, I am grateful for even a buck. I am never, I will never like say, oh, well, it's a dollar, who cares? I don't do that. I just know that my Patreon is mostly there for like illustrations and pinups, maybe a comic every now and then. But it is the support I still appreciate because, and as some folks have told me, that they just, with Substar, they're not certain about putting in their credit card information directly into the site to support.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Which I get. They said they still want to support me somehow. So they always ask, is there another way to support you? And I said, well, Patreon still has the PayPal option. So
yes.
If more people are more comfortable with that, that's always a way. And it's like, these are just people who just straight up just want to support, which I think is really nice.
That is really good. And, you know, speaking of which, you know, where can people find your artwork? Like, where are the best places they can go for your socials?
My socials, I always keep it updated. I even have a URL that links to my card co. Theglassfishbowl.com is the best place to find all my socials. My Twitter's there, my Picardo, Substar, Patreon, even Twitch when I decide to play games again. That's not on my Steam Deck or Switch. So theglassfishbowl.com is the best place to find any of my official socials there.
Very cool. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us
again.
It was an awesome discussion. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just finish this up just with this really fun, little kind of just small little a game thing that we do where we just spin this like wheel of these different questions. And we'll just pick a couple from them, and they're just fun little questions. And you might have actually already kind of talked about or answered these, but I'm just gonna spin this wheel and ask you one of the questions. So the question is there a Shota character you wish more people knew about?
Oh, a Shota character more people knew about? That's a good question. I everyone knows now about like Damien, because years ago I had to fight tooth and nail to say that he was a good character.
I see.
Another character. It's weird because all the characters I want people to know more about have been getting a lot of more play in media, whether it's Shazam, whether it's Damien, he's finally getting recognized. Hell, I think he's even getting a movie in Batman the Brave and the Bold that's coming out under James Gunn. I was going to say ruling, like he's a king or something, but no, under James Gunn. But I'm trying to think of another character. It's so hard.
Well, that's okay. You got Damien. So like, yeah, and see, that's awesome, is that like it now is happening, so more people will know about them. So that's definitely really cool. Let me like spin maybe one more question here for you, because these are definitely some fun ones that Dr. X and I came up with. Let's see. Oh, this one is a great one. Okay, if you could make a ship with a Shota canon, what one would it be? Like if there was like a movie or game or anything like that that you wish was actually like canonical, like it was the accepted canonical.
I always made this joke, so like if DC hired me, I would just like sneak in canonically Billy Batson and Power Girl, like not even like not even subtle. It's sort of like he was just crushing her really hard.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Well, that makes sense why you made such a nice comic with them. Because honestly, when I see like some of your like artwork with I swear it does seem like it could literally be like a DC comic. Just somebody would go into the comic store or like online and be like, oh, what's this new thing with Power Girl? And then be like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. I would love that. I would love to do a Power Girl run, like either Power Girl or Super Sons. That's like the one like pipe dream I have. Like if I could work on any book, whether it's penciling or writing, it would be either or.
Yeah, that would be that would actually be really, really awesome. And I mean, the great thing is being an artist, you can make that a reality and just probably make it probably more popular or as popular as like the actual official stuff.
Yeah, I've seen fan art just carry fucking stories and franchises to the point where people kind of confuse each canon of what really happened in the comics.
Oh yeah. I can totally see that happening.
I feel like that happened with Overwatch.
There was one strip I thought was the Bat Family, the webtoon, official webtoon DC comic about the Batman and all the sidekicks and everything like that living as a family, and someone made fan art of that, and I thought it was the same story. I thought it came from the same book, and just to find out like, oh, that was fan art. I it's kind of amazing how like these artists, whether you know, will make stories sometimes even better than the original coming out.
Yeah, well, it goes back to like what you said, like it's sometimes it's because, you know, the original story like isn't as satisfying, or maybe it abruptly ends or like, you know, it goes on a tangent and people wanted to see something else or wanted to see it continue. And then you're able to continue it, especially if you add the straight Shota aspect into it. And then it really gets interesting.
Yes.
Well, again, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you had a good time with us.
I did. I had a really good time talking with you folks.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.